good to have Dr. Scott Hanks with us this evening. He's been pastor in Lawrence, Kansas for about 22 years, Heritage Baptist Church. And I was just talking to him. I don't know if he remembers. He's a lot older than me. And so he's probably forgetting that. But as youth pastors, he was a youth pastor in Sauk Village, worked under his dad, Dr. John Hanks, and his lovely mom. Glad you're here. She's one of my fan clubs, the only fan that I have out there. You remember I was talking about those emails? They all come from her, all right, and cards. But my one fan. Dr. Scott Hanks worked under his dad for many years, or a few years, and he was worked with the youth. And so we'd get together every once in a while and talk the book of Proverbs. And we would swap authors, and we were just talking about that. Those of you that have studied Proverbs, there's an author called Charles Bridges. And way back, almost 25 years ago, I remember sitting, we were talking about finding that and teaching different aspects of the book of Proverbs. And he's written a number of books. Stacia, his wife, is here. I was glad she could be with us. She is infamous or famous. She is one of the dozens of betrayals. Dozens. There's hundreds of them. I don't know. Every time I turn around, there's another one that I thought I've met them all. All right. But it's Dr. Roger Betrayal. That's his daughter. And so I'm glad that she could come and be with him here this evening. So Dr. Scott Hanks will be preaching for us this evening.
All right. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how happy I am to be here. How many of you old timers, 29 years ago this month, I stepped on campus as a freshman. How many was here 29 years ago? Anybody? Wow, several. You know what? You're all looking old, too, by the way. Hey, I just got out of the car. My wife drove down ahead of me yesterday, and I was able to fly in. But when I got out of the car, I saw Joe LeBate. And I want to tell you, 29 years ago, him and I were on the same, we played basketball for the college. And, you know, I was 18, and of course, he seemed like he was 40 then. I mean, that man has aged. So, but anyway, I don't know if he's in here or not, but when I pulled up, I'd never seen security in wheelchairs before. And, but I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. Hey, I want to tell you something. You talk about being scarred for life. I came here as a freshman, and Anthony Wright was my roommate. Now, I know he's older now and more mature. But I'm telling you, as a freshman, of course, I hadn't been away from home, grew up as a preacher's kid. And so when you come to college your freshman year, there's just so many things that are new. And then to have Anthony as my roommate, I mean, I just wasn't used to that. I'll never forget, they had to add rules to the rule book because of Anthony. There were nights I couldn't find Anthony. I couldn't find him anywhere. And, of course, we haven't seen each other for years, and you're looking older, too, by the way. but Anthony wasn't in the room. And I couldn't figure out at nighttime what he was doing. Praying. Yeah. That was not one of the things I thought Anthony was doing. And so I just went to the dorm supervisor and I said, you know, I don't know what Anthony's doing, but he's not in his bed at night. I mean, he's just not there. And so he was called in and come to find out, Anthony just wanted to try the other beds in the dorm. So he would go room to room each night, sleep in a different room. Do you remember that? I hope you don't do that now. It was an experience, I'll tell you that much. But anyway, so it was a blessing. I've got so many good memories of Fairhaven. I really do. And it's just, I appreciate Pastor Gamer letting us come back. I just, you know, ever since I was invited, I've been looking forward to being here. And I know there's a lot of you that are new here. But I want to tell you, you're still influencing lives. And I just know that I wouldn't be where I am in ministry or in life if it wasn't for this place. And I appreciate you. I appreciate the church. Appreciate all the staff. And I appreciate Dr. Vogelin, Dr. Roger Vogelin. I just can't say enough about what the Lord's done through him. And then, of course, the mantle being passed to Pastor Dameron. It's just amazing. This place has stayed strong all these years. And so, and I want to tell you something. There's no telling what the Lord will do in the future as far as what can happen. I mean, you just think about the scores of people you've already influenced. It's just amazing. And so, church family, I know maybe you don't have a direct hand in the college, but you have a direct hand in the college, because if it wasn't for the church, you'd have no college. And again, appreciate what you've done and what you're doing. So anyway, I want to preach a message tonight as the Lord will allow. But before I do, I'm not good with humor. You know, I'm not good at jokes or anything. But I read this and I thought you would enjoy it. All right. This is pretty good. An old geezer who had been a retired farmer for a long time became bored with being a farmer. And so he decided that he was going to start his own business of being a doctor. He figured if they practice medicine, he can practice medicine. So Dr. Geezer said, I'm just going to open my own clinic. And on his clinic, basically what he was going to do is he was going to offer people, if he came to your clinic, it was going to cost you $500 for me to diagnose what's wrong. And he says, if I can't diagnose it right, I'm going to give you $1,000. Well, there was a doctor in town. The doctor in town, his name was Dr. Young. He didn't think it was very good, but he thought, well, hey, I can at least get $1,000 off this guy, because obviously he's a farmer, he's not a doctor. So Dr. Young goes into Dr. Geezer, and this is what transpired. Dr. Geezer, I have lost all taste in my mouth. Can you please help me? Dr. Geezer, nurse, please bring medicine from box 22 and put 3 drops in Dr. Young's mouth. Dr. Young, this is gasoline. Dr. Geezer, congratulations, you've got your taste back. That will be $500. Dr. Young gets annoyed and goes back after a couple of days, figuring to recover his money. Dr. Young, I've lost my membrane. I cannot remember anything. Dr. Geezer, nurse, please bring medicine from box 22 and put 3 drops in the patient's mouth. Dr. Young, oh no you don't, that's gasoline. Dr. Geezer, congratulations, you got your memory back. That'll be $500. Dr. Young, after losing $1,000, leaves angrily and comes back after several more days. Dr. Young, my eyesight has become weak and I can hardly see. Dr. Geezer, well, I don't have any medicine for that, so here's your $1,000 back. Dr. Young, but this is only $500. Dr. Geezer, congratulations, you got your vision back. That'll be $500. The moral of the story, don't mess with an old geezer, amen? But anyway, grab your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. It's interesting that he said that when I walked Pastor Dameron about us talking about Proverbs. I remember that day talking about Proverbs. Proverbs is my favorite book in the Bible. And to be honest with you, I don't preach from Proverbs very often. It's just a very, very rare thing. But this is the message for tonight. It does come from this book. And, of course, the book was written specifically for young people. Proverbs 1:4 says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. It's the only book in the Bible that was specifically written for young people. And, of course, the wisdom's for all of us. But I want to look at here Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. All right, thanks again. Let's go ahead and pray. I hope you'll pray in your heart and ask the Lord to speak to us tonight. Our Father, thank you again for this place. Thank you again for your people that have come out to church tonight. Lord, would you please give now liberty and boldness to the Holy Spirit? Would you again speak to us? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to work through, as well as those who are in the pew tonight? Father, may they receive. And Lord, help us again to be better Christians when we leave here. And God, thank you again for the Bible. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Now, Father, again, please move in the service tonight like only you can. I need your help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church family, I want to teach a little bit, but I also want to preach a thought, but I've got to lay just a little bit of foundation. Chapter 4 the whole chapter is mentioned in the theme of it's mentioned in the first phrase of the chapter. Look at chapter 4, verse number 1. It says, hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Now, if you know the book of Proverbs, you know this chapter. I'm not teaching anything new. This whole chapter is a father's instruction. All right. And you'll see that as we go. So the chapter itself is mentioned in the first phrase. What the theme is, look now at verse 1 again. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Now, verse 1, 2, 3, 2 and 3 is the introduction of what the chapter's talking about. Now, look at verse number 4. The first 3 words of verse number 4 are important. I want you to say them out loud to me, the first 3 words. Together, He taught me. All right. Now, I'm just going to put the puzzle completely together. Then I'm going to come back and fill in here. I want you to jump down to verse number 11, and I want you to read out loud the first four words. All right. Together. I have taught thee. All right. So the person who wrote the book is who? Talk to us. Let's just talk for a moment. Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon. So when Solomon says in verse number 4, he taught me, and we know from verse number 1 that it's the instruction of a father, who is teaching Solomon? All right, so David is teaching Solomon. Now look at verse number 4 again. He taught me. Now here's what David taught Solomon. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live, get wisdom. Now verse 5, 6, and 7 is going to talk about wisdom, and I don't want to... This is not the message tonight, but basically David teaches Solomon three things. In verse 4, here's the first one. Let thine heart retain my words. In other words, listen to my instruction. Keep my commandments. That's the second thing he taught him. And then verse 5, 6, and 7 is get wisdom. All right? As I want you to get wisdom. So here Solomon is speaking, and he says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments. He's saying, this is what my father taught me. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Verse 7, wisdom's the principal thing. So David is teaching these things to Solomon, all right? And so I want you to, let's go a little farther here. Look at verse number 10 now. Verses 4 through 9 is what David taught Solomon. Verse 10 picks up now Solomon teaching his son. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. In the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. Now, church family, for time's sake, this is not the message tonight, but I will say, basically, verse 10 through 27 is what Solomon is teaching Rehoboam, or his son. All right, we'll just use Rehoboam because he's the one that became the next king. And in those verses, basically, verse 4, he teaches them two things. I'll just tell them to you. Verse 14 through 19, he tells them to shun evil companions. And then verse number, basically, I think it's verse number 20 through verse 27, he tells them shun yourself or keep yourself from evil. Forgive me, keep yourself from evil. Now, I don't want to teach on that tonight. What I want to teach on is those really, that word taught, if you don't mind. Look at verse number 4 again. It says, he taught me, verse number 11, I have taught thee. Now, church family, I look at these statements, and I see something here that Solomon and David is trying to teach each other. Fellas, could you help me real quick? You two fellas in the front. Oh, come on up here if you don't mind. Is it okay? Are you all right to do that? Are you guys college students? I can tell. Come here. All right? Okay, come up here for just a second here. I'll tell you, we've got to put you up here so both sides can see. You just stand over here. We're going to pretend that you're David, all right? Now, I don't know you, and I wouldn't do anything to embarrass you, I don't think. All right, so... we're going to pretend that you're David. We're going to pretend for just a second that you're Solomon. And so what happens here is this, is that Solomon, you're David, right? So David's over here. David here teaches Solomon something, and Solomon going to pass it on. Can I have that basketball for just a second here, if you don't mind? Now, Shane, thank you much. I appreciate it. Now, Shane, I'm not going to be long tonight. I just want to just kind of share this one truth. Hold that for a second. You ever played basketball? I can tell. All right. Now, you know, there's something about a person who's not coordinated. He looks like the epitome of no coordination, all right? Now, I shouldn't have said that because I don't even know him. But anyway, hey, so think for just a second here. I want to teach tonight on this thought of what it takes to be taught. What it takes to be taught. You have a college here. The reason you college students came to this church is to be taught. You didn't come to teach somebody else. You came to be taught. All right, are you with me tonight? So in other words, let me just quickly say this. You don't get to a point in life where you've learned everything. A person once said that when you cease to learn, you cease to lead. Everything of that, your pastor is a prime example of this. Pastor Dameron is always looking for something he can learn. And by the way, if you ever get to the place where you're not learning, then I want to tell you something. You're going to go backward, not forward. All right, so hear this statement that I find in Scripture here, where it says, he taught me, and then the other one says, I have taught thee. I think to myself, okay, what does it take? In other words, David, by the way, you already know this, you understand this. He says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. And he goes through this thing about wisdom. I got a question for you. Did Solomon get wisdom, yes or no? Think about it, church family. Solomon, in his sleep, God comes to him, and in a vision of the night, God says to him, he says, hey, ask what I'll give unto you. And Solomon said, I need an understanding heart. I need wisdom. And God gave it. Now think about it. In his unconscious state, I believe he remembered what his daddy taught him. I believe that according to the book of Proverbs number 4, he was his father's son. And that was not saying he was related to his father. He was saying he was close to his father. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He's saying I had a good relationship with my father. Now, I want to tell you, the best way to learn is make sure you have a good relationship with your father. But here you have Solomon here. He's getting from his father David, and Solomon is trying to pass on to his son. Now, what does it take to be taught? I look at what was passed on, and I want to tell you tonight, if you can just pretend for just a moment, for illustration's sake, let's pretend this basketball is the truth or a truth. Now think for a second here. David passes on to Solomon several truths. Truth number one, listen to my instruction. Truth number two, keep my commandments. Truth number three, get wisdom. Now, that's what David passed on to his son, because guess what? That's what Solomon says in the pages of Scripture under the inspiration of God. He says, hey, this is what my daddy taught me. All right, if you're with me so far, say amen. So there, can I tell you something? In order to be taught, there first of all has to be a truth. Now, Pastor, that's kind of a general statement, but I want to tell you, we've got a lot of people today preaching philosophy instead of truth. We've got a lot of people that want to give their opinion instead of truth. And I want to tell you, and I'm thankful for this place because I know you stand there. I'm thankful that there's a place where truth is taught. Truth is taught. And can I tell you the principles of Scripture? You look in the Scripture, there's three things that are called truth. The Bible says that Jesus is truth. John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. We also know John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. All right. And we know from 1 John chapter 5 that the Spirit of God is truth, or the Spirit of truth. And so, in other words, for us, we can't walk literally with Jesus. We've got the pages of Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word. So in other words, I cannot walk with Jesus Christ physically, but every time I open up the Bible, I have the truth. I have Christ with me. All right. So tonight, can I just start off by saying that if a person's going to be taught, you first of all have to have truth. And I want to tell you what truth is. Truth is the Word of God. Truth is the Word of God. And you know, we're living in a day, as it said, I think, in the Old Testament, that truth is fallen in the streets. We're living in a day that people don't want the truth. Everything has to be grayed. Now, we don't have to be politically correct, amen? We just have to speak what the truth is. I want to tell you something. I don't know how it is in here. I know how it is in Kansas. But I want to tell you something. Transgender is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. You know why we know that? Not because our parents told us that. It's because the Bible says it's wrong. In other words, we have a truth. And I want to tell you, not everybody likes the truth. Remember what Apostle Paul said? He said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Church family, I want to tell you, you ought to be thankful that somebody tells you the truth. I see, first of all, in order for a person to be taught, first of all, you have to have his truth. And of course, we got the Word of God. Second thing I see is this, okay, and I'm going to use these guys in just a moment. But the second thing I see in the Scripture here is this. In order for a person to be taught, there has to be somebody who teaches the truth or throws the truth. Here's where I was going with that. It's interesting, if I can use the Lord's table down here. It's interesting that this word taught in Scripture means to lay or throw. You look it up yourself. It means to run as water. Second definition means to lay. And by the way, the idea of flowing water means it's continually coming for a person to be taught. And so God says, he says, listen, in order for a person to be taught, the word taught there means to lay or throw. Now, I want to tell you, there needs to be somebody that's willing. Now, watch for a second here. All right, now listen, you're going to throw the ball to him, okay? It's not hard, okay? And he's going to catch it. Is this your first year of college, second year of college, third year? Are you in college?
Yes.
What year are you in? Nine? Ten? You are sweating. Are you nervous?
Yes.
Hey, you don't have to be nervous. I'm your friend. Okay. Now listen, when you throw a basketball, you throw it like that. You throw it back. You don't throw a basketball like that. All right, so get back to him. All right. Now, in order for a truth to be taught, you first of all have to have truth. I'm sorry. In order for a person to be taught, you first of all have to have truth. Number two, you have to have somebody who throws the truth. All right? Now, Trisha, can I tell you, not everybody likes the truth thrown to them, but we need some truth throwers. And I want to tell you who those truth throwers are. You look at the Bible. The Bible is very clear. Parents are truth throwers. The man of God, the preacher, is a truth thrower. Your teachers are truth throwers. You know what happens? Every time a person gets up behind a lectern or in a Sunday school class, they're not up there to make those kids feel good. They're up there to tell them what the truth says. And make no apology and don't be embarrassed about what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God says. It's the truth. We don't have to preach truth to make people feel good or get people to like us. We have to tell them this is what the Bible says. And I want to tell you, study the Old Testament, you're going to find out a lot of prophets are thrown in jail. And the reason they were thrown there is because people didn't like the truth thrown to them. But I want to tell you, we've got a book that's the Word of God, and we got that truth. And I'm going to tell you something. We need some people that will simply be truth throwers and throw the truth. I want to tell you, we've got some people, and I'm going to come to, because the last point is you've got to be the one who catches it. It's real simple. You have the truth, you have a thrower, you got a catcher. You know, our day, in the day that we're living in today, we've got people who don't want to catch the truth. All right? Now, I don't want you to catch the ball. You understand? All right? Now, here's what's happening. The preacher's preaching. Hey, you laugh, but that's what half of you do every church service. That's what Ezekiel, isn't that what they said in the book of Ezekiel? They come, they sit, they hear, but they will not do. We get don't catch. We get upset because we throw truth to our children and they don't catch the truth. My oldest one just got married. She's 19 years old. She got married young. But our family situation is a little bit different. We adopted two and we had six. For 7.5 years, we couldn't have children. God finally let us. After 7.5 years, we decided that we were going to adopt. And so my wife and I told her, I said, listen, God might not give us children, so maybe we should just adopt. And so we did. And that was a miracle in itself, because as soon as we talked about it, 2 weeks later, somebody calls me from Texas and says, hey, my daughter's 16. She's pregnant out of wedlock. Do you know anybody that'd like to adopt a baby? So we knew from the get-go that we were supposed to adopt, and so we adopted. The young girl came up to Kansas and had the baby, and so we adopted. Well, still couldn't have any children for whatever reason, didn't know. And then 5 years later, my wife got expecting, but 5 years later, that 16-year-old who's now 21, she got expecting again by another fellow and calls and said, hey, listen, I'm pregnant again. Would you like my second child? So we adopted the second one, and 8 days later, my wife had one, and another one, and another one, another one, another one. And so we have 8 children. 7 are at home right now. The oldest one's married, but they go from the youngest being 5 and the oldest being 14. But I'll never forget, from the time we brought that child home, the one that we adopted, we just never had a good relationship. I'll be honest, we just never did. But I understood one thing. I'm dad, and because I'm dad, I have to answer for the house. And so she was going to obey me, whether she liked it or not. And she didn't like it. So there were times that I would have to tell her, he said, listen, you can't wear what you're wearing. Go into your room and change clothes. You're not wearing that. And she would never backtalk because obviously I'm still going to spank. She got her last spanking at 17 years old. Awful quiet in here. And I just want to be honest with you. Face me a little bit more if you don't mind. I just want to be honest with you. There were many a times I told her truth. She didn't catch it. Things that she needed to know. Why we don't do this and why you're not going to do that. It was all, to her, it was all just rules. And she's married now. She's 19. I've got some wonderful texts here in recent days. Dad, I love you. I thought I'd never hear this one in the text. I really miss your preaching. That was a blessing. Hey, I want to tell you. I'm thankful she married a guy that graduated from college. She's doing good. I'm thankful for how the Lord's brought her. It's the grace of God that she got to where she is. But I want to tell you something. A lot of times in her life, she didn't want the truth. Hey, can I tell you, sometimes you sit in a college class and the teacher's teaching truth and you want to make fun of the teacher or make fun of the class or not do your best. I just want to tell you what you're doing. You're not able to be taught. And the reason you're not be able to talk, because you're not catching it. We got a lot of people who grow up in churches, young people, and what's happened is you think it's just a bunch of rules and regulations, and you haven't figured out that it's the truth of the Word of God, because God sees your life from the beginning to the end. He knows what you need 10 years from now, now. And you say to yourself, this class is boring. I don't need this class. You say to yourself, I don't need these rules in home. But God sees the whole picture in your life. Now, church family, here's what I want you to see tonight. In order to be taught, number one, there has to be a truth. In order to be taught, there need to be people who will actually pass the truth. What did Solomon say? He taught me. Did Solomon catch it? The answer is yes. Because when Solomon was asked of God, what would you like? He told God, I'd like to have wisdom. Where do you think he got that at? He got that from a dad who said, wisdom's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting. Get understanding. He caught it. How many times have you sat in a church service in a lackadaisical mode, almost be lethargic or sleeping? When's the last time you came to a church service and before you came, you prayed and said, God, I'm coming to church tonight. You have something for me. Help me not to miss it. You know, the problem with us as Christians is this. It's not a matter of God not teaching us. It's a matter of we're not catching it. Now, I want to show you, this is the important thing, and I'm going to be done tonight. Would you slide up to the front right there, if you don't mind? Thank you very much. You make me nervous. Come here for a second. Help me out. Are you a college student?
No, high school.
Praise the Lord. All right. Now, church family, here's where we're at, okay? We're in 2016. And I'm telling you, churches all across America, I'm not telling you the gray head, hoary head tonight. I'm not telling anything you don't know. You see it as well as I do. People don't come to church on Sunday night like they used to. Baptist churches are going to this worship team across the front. And I want to tell you, I thought it was those way out. We're talking independent Baptist. It's an unbelievable day we're living in. Now here's what's going to take place if we're not careful. David passed to Solomon. Solomon went to pass to Rehoboam. Rehoboam, I believe, is only king, I think, 3 years. Remember correctly, it's 3 or 5. And I want to tell you why. Yeah, God split the kingdom, but I want to tell you something. This ding-a-ling here, he wouldn't listen to the old men. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. He heard his daddy say those kind of things. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but the multitude of counselors is safety. He heard Solomon make statements like that, and here he is as king, and he tells the old guys, thanks for your advice, but no thanks. Now, don't catch the ball. So guess what happened? Rehoboam missed it. Now, church family, I really believe this is where we're at. I believe the reason churches are getting smaller. I believe with all my heart the reason our Christianity is not where it used to be, old time. It bothers me these guys are making fun of old time fundamentalism, because the old time fundamentalism is just simply the old path. But I want to tell you what's happening. Here's what's happening. The old timers that had the power of God upon their life, had a walk with God, believed in standards and holiness and soul winning. They passed it on to a generation that caught it. But I'm telling you, this next generation that's coming up is not catching it. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to go soul winning. They want to dress like the world. They want to watch the world's... You know, there was a day in our day... Don't go to the movie house. Christians shouldn't go to the movie house. This generation is watching it on their phone. So this generation thinks to themselves, that's not that important. Now, I know the Lord's return is imminent. I know He could come back right now. But Apostle Paul said He could come back right now, too. And if Christ tarries His coming, churches are going to get smaller, and Christianity is going to get weaker, and it's for one main reason, because they can't be taught. And I want to tell you tonight, here's what we need to do as Christians. You guys go sit down. I'm going to use my buddy over here. No, not you. I'm picking on you because I like you. I just want you to know. All right. Now, Church Family, can I tell you something? It's one thing when someone teaches you a truth from the pulpit, the basics of Christianity. Read your Bible. That's back, please. If she spent some time in prayer, that's one thing. But what happens when the preacher gets up here and he hits close to home? All right, I'm going to throw this a little harder. I'm warning you. All right, are you ready? You catch the ball? Don't get hurt, okay? You ready? Now, if he had been smart or the average Christian, here's what he would have done. Move. The pastor's not going to tell me that. He's not going to tell me how to raise my children. He's not going to tell me how this thing about giving and tithing. He's not going to tell me how to live my life. The pastor's not doing that. He's telling you truth. We got a bunch of young people in this generation that I'm telling you, they're babies. They're babies. You know why they're babies? Because you can't tell them anything. They act like they know everything. And the truth of the matter is, they're not catching it. Now, I want to tell you, this is what our prayer ought to be. He taught me, I've taught thee. If it's a matter of, the word taught means lay or throw. If it's a matter of, my parent makes a statement and lays the truth down, I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to pick it up. Okay. It means to lay or throw. If my parents make a statement and pass it to me, I'm going to catch it. My wife left yesterday. We're not away from our children hardly ever at the same time. I have 8 children. My wife usually stays at home for everything. I wanted her to be here. She graduated from here. Her sister, Mrs. Schreiber, is here. And so I wanted her to come. And so tomorrow I'll fly her back. And then I'm going to spend some time with my mom. If I get a chance to see her, thanks for coming tonight, Mom. And so I had the children last night. All right. So I had the 4 boys last night. And then I kept 2 of the girls at the church last night with a babysitter. So I had the 4 boys last night. So when I got up this morning, I told the 4 boys, I said, fellas, don't forget now, you need to make your bed, you need to pick up your stuff. So they all know that. And so make your bed, pick up your clothes, etc. So I went into the rooms before I left, and I went into the room, and I went into, it's Sharon, Seth, Samuel, Silas, Stephen, Stephanie, Sarah, Susanna. Never do that. But they're all S's. So I walk into Seth's room, and Seth and Stephen's room. Seth's 14, Stephen is around 10. And so when I walked in there, they had this blanket on the ground, this blanket. And so I come out of the door and I said, hey, listen, your bed's not made and the blanket's on the floor. Well, Silas, he's about 11 or 12. And so he pipes up and said, Dad, that's the modern look. Modern. I said, Silas, I don't want a modern bedroom. I want that blanket picked up and folded, and I want the bed made. Now, I know that's awful trivial to you, but here's what's taking place this morning. Fellas, I want you to pick up the clothes off the floor. I want you to make sure you fold that blanket. This is what happened this morning. Now, they don't know that, but I'm trying to teach them a truth that you're supposed to pick up after yourself instead of being a lazy bum. You know, all of life is about truth. I know it's about error, but it's about truth. The question is, are you catching it? Your boss comes in you and says, hey, listen, I don't want you showing up, 3 minutes after. I want you here on time. You know, what's wrong with that boss? He's telling you the truth. He paid you for the 3 minutes you didn't clock in for. It can go on and on. All I know is one thing. I'm 47 years old. I want to be taught. The only way to be taught is for me to catch the truth. The bottom line is this. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Do you want it? Do you want it? If you want it, ask God to teach you. And if you want it, accept reproof. If you want it, listen to the truth. If you want it, do with what you've heard. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? Thank you so much for your help. Pastor's going to come and conduct the invitation for us tonight. I hope that tonight, if you're a Christian, I hope you just ask the Lord, God, help me to take the truth and help me to do with the truth. If you're here tonight and you're not saved tonight, you don't know Christ as your Savior, I hope that you'll come. You say, Pastor, I think I'm saved, maybe, hope so. You ought to come, get that solidified tonight. May the Lord help us with truth. Father in heaven, I thank you again for this place, and Lord, help it to always be a truth bearer. But Father, not only a truth bearer, help it to be a truth catcher. Lord, help the congregation, help each college student, each staff member, every Christian. Help us, Father, Lord, to accept the truths that you bring into our life and help us to make application. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.